the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Generous and abundant God, would you please help us now as we come to your word and teach us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So, 7.6 billion people. Apparently, that's the number of people on the planet right now. 7.6 billion people. Can you begin to imagine it? A vast amount of diversity, an incalculable amount of complexity. That's just an awful lot of people, isn't it? So we would have variations in religion, politics, ethnicity, preferences, sports, absolutely everything. And then down to the individual level, we would have differences in personality, differences in dreams, in hopes, in plans for the future. A vast amount of people on the planet right now. And we're followers of Jesus. We believe that the Bible has something to say to all of those 7.6 billion people. The Great Commission is to go to all people and go absolutely everywhere and tell people about Jesus. So I wonder, what does Jesus have to say to 7.6 billion different people? And as we take a look this morning, I think we're going to see something like this. Jesus effectively says, of those 7.6 billion people, there are effectively two types of people in the world. And we've been seeing that all throughout Luke's gospel so far. Cast your mind back to the beginning of the year. We've seen things like this. Are you a good tree or a bad tree? Have you dug a deep foundation? Yes or no? Will you take up your cross and follow Jesus? Yes or no? Will you pass by or will you stop and help? Will you be one of the thankful few or one of the unthankful many? And today, as we take a look at Luke chapter 18, we're going to be asked a very similar kind of question. There are really only two types of people in the world, says Jesus. Will you be someone who humbles yourself, or will you be someone who exalts yourself? Or as that translation earlier put it, who bigs themselves up. That's a much, much better translation, I think. So would you like to grab it, Luke 18, in the green Bibles in front of you? And that is on page 993. Jesus tells us these parables where effectively he says there are two types of people in the world, and that's because he knows us. Jesus made us, he knows us, and he knows we have this great and grand temptation to sit on the fence. And he tells parables like this one to make sure that we don't, to make sure that we don't sit on the fence. And in fact, he really wants to say that not only should we not sit on the fence, but that there never really was a fence to sit on in the first place. Take a look down and on page 993 and at Luke 18, verses 9 to 17. Let's take a read together. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Well, please keep that open in front of you. We're going to have a brief glance down at verses 9 to 14 first, and we're going to just do some straight observation. What can you see? What's going on? Well, this is a parable. It's a fictional story told by Jesus to make a clear, a profound point. The purpose of the parable is really, really clear. That's handy if you're preparing a talk, so you can't get confused. The purpose of the parable is clear. Take a look, verse 9. "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable." He's identified two types of issues. A, folks who are confident in their own righteousness, or as our translation had it, who big themselves up. B, folks who look down on everyone else. That's the setup. And now Jesus tells the story. Take a look at verse 10. "Two men went up to the temple to pray." The scene is the temple in Jerusalem. The temple was located on top of a hill, and the temple was God's dwelling place with his people. So these two men go up to the temple to pray. Two men on their way to church. Two men going to pray. Now, right now, they sound very similar, but very quickly, their differences are about to unravel. Let's take a look at verse 10 again. One, a Pharisee, the other, a tax collector. You could not pick two more different men. And their differences are about to become very clear. But just as an aside, as we're watching this, this is all about people praying. We're going to watch these two folks pray, and we're going to find out an incredible amount about what's going on in their hearts. The question isn't really whether they pray or not. The question's really, what do they pray? And what does that tell us about the heart behind the prayer? Well, let's do some straight observation. We've got our two folks. A Pharisee, he's over here, and a tax collector, he's over here. Now, the Pharisee, verse 9, he's clearly confident in his own righteousness, his own goodness. Whereas our tax collector over here, he's ashamed. Take a look at verse 13. He's ashamed of his lack of righteousness, of his lack of goodness. Well, let's look at our Pharisee again. He stood by himself, likely in the middle of the temple. Our tax collector, he's over here, he's at a distance, he's at the edge. Potentially, he's even with the riffraff. He's got his head down and he's beating his chest. It's a posture of humility. Or our Pharisee again, he thanks God for his state of righteousness. "Thank you, God, that I'm not like others." But our tax collector, he addresses God in humility. Verse 13, he comes humbly. But this was all about prayer. Let's look at what they pray for. Our Pharisee, amazingly, verses 11 and 12, he doesn't actually pray for anything. Presumably, he doesn't need anything. He just thanks God that he is as he is. Or verse 13, our tax collector, he prays for mercy. He knows he's a sinful man and asks God for forgiveness, for mercy. And our Pharisee, he's going to return home without justification. And our tax collector, he's going to head back down the hill, head held high, burden lifted off his shoulders, forgiven and justified before God. For the Pharisee, the one who exalts themselves is going to be humbled. For the tax collector, those who humble themselves will be exalted, says Jesus. Well, that's a brief observation. That's what's going on. That's the raw what's happening as we observe this scene that Jesus tells us about. And I think as we take a look at the Pharisee, we see someone living in a world of ladders. This is a world of comparison, a world of comparing yourself to everyone else. It's a world of justifying yourself in comparison to others. The Pharisees entered God's temple, God's place, and he's brought the whole of the world with him. He's lined up everyone he knows, and he's put them all in order in relation to his position on the ladder of achievement. The ladder he sets up is achieving God's law, getting stuff done for God. And he lives all of this life by this ladder. So he sets out climbing his ladder. And he goes up a couple of rungs. Evidently, he's quite happy about that. He's delighted that he's gone up a good couple of rungs. And now he's able, from that vantage point, to look down on other people. He's now able to look down on those who are around him. Suddenly, this tax collector is beginning to sound a lot like me, perhaps a lot like you. He has this to say. He effectively says, and it's outrageous when you think about it, and we'd never be so crass as to actually say it out loud, but this is what's going on often in our hearts. Something like this: God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I wonder, who do you look down on? Don't worry, you won't have to tell the person next to you. But ask the question. Let's ask it. Let's be honest. Who do you look down on? And we all do it, don't we? Who do you look down on? And then that extra question, why? Perhaps in your mind, just try and finish this sentence. At least I'm not like... .. Well, what does that tell you? If you've got those people, that reason in mind, what does that tell you? If you can identify who you look down on and why, you'll probably be able to identify the source of your self-righteousness, the source of my reason for pride. And it's a dangerous, dangerous way to live. I know I do it. I have this, I think I'm tracing it back to looking down on those who get less done than me, or looking down on those who are lazier than I perceive myself to be. But there's a bit of a consequence to that. I then, on this ladder that I've made of apparently godliness equals busyness, I then look up to people who get a whole lot more done than me. And you can see I've constructed a whole world of ladders around busyness that I think here we're going to see in this parable. Jesus is going to just kick them all over. So, ladders. This is a potentially exhausting and foolish way to live. And not only that, it's spiritually dangerous too. And the outcome is something like this. In a world of ladders, the real big problem, the root of the problem is this. He's looking at other people. He's in the temple, God's dwelling place. He's in front of Almighty God. And people are big and God is small for this man. Well, let's move on. Let's take a look at our tax collector. He's someone who's going to acknowledge his own sin. He's someone who's going to take down any ladders to nowhere that he's put up. So first, we are to acknowledge the crack in everything. If the Pharisee has brought the whole of the world with him into the presence of God, the tax collector rightly comes on his own. Take a look at verse 13. The tax collector stood at a distance, and he would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The tax collector knows that when he comes into God's presence, he rightly stands on his own. He stands responsible before God. Do you know that? Do you acknowledge that? He comes alone and he acknowledges his sin. He doesn't do what I want to straight away do and blame others. He doesn't say it's all someone else's fault. His eyes are open and honest. He must stand before God. And as a sinful man, that is a humbling and terrifying even prospect. So his eyes are down. He beats his breast. It's a posture of shame before a holy God. And he has this to say. A really simple prayer, and the only honest prayer in this parable. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He acknowledges his own sin, sin that is the crack in everything, you and me included. And we are not talking here just about our tendency to occasionally muck things up a bit. We're not talking about that thing where we lurch and stumble through life and stump our toe and get frustrated. This is our active inclination to break stuff, to get things wrong, to be in rebellion against God, to want to break moods, people, our own well-being, stuff around us, to see something beautiful and good and just want to put a big fat scratch through the whole thing. That's the crack in everything. Sin used to mean something, I think, before it meant indulgent chocolate and interesting lingerie. And that's what it's getting at. It's getting at the real root of things, the crack in everything. And this man, the one who's going to be exalted in the end, the humble one, who acknowledges his part that he's played in the sin in the world and the sin in himself, he's going to be the one that Jesus points out is the truly humble one. He's going to be the hero of our parable. I love that description of sin as the crack that runs through everything. Somehow, in the mystery of God, it's that through acknowledging our sin and acknowledging the crack in everything, that grace begins to flow, that generosity comes in. It's, someone has once said that it's through the cracks that the light gets in. And that's a fantastic phrase. He assumes nothing for himself, but asks God for mercy. And God is rich in mercy, generous in mercy, generous in grace. And he's happy, happy to give it to this humble man. Let's be sure, this is the very starting point of the Christian life. This is the way in. This is the beginning, the starting out, the very first step. Accepting that we're accepted despite being unacceptable. Take a look at it again, because there's a lot of acceptance in that one. Accepting that you're accepted despite being unacceptable. That's the very beginning of the Christian life. But if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you'll know, hopefully, that it's the way on too. It's the way to continue following Jesus as well. If you start out by grace and carry on just by your own grit, teeth, and determination, you're going to get nowhere. Grace is the way on as well. One of the hardest things as a person who's been following Jesus for a little while is just recalling not only that you begin by grace, but you go on by it too. And as we come to a close here and come to communion, I want us just to think briefly about that great ladder toppler, the great storyteller himself, the only humble one who's ever lived, the Lord Jesus. He's the one telling the story. There's only been one humble man in the existence of the world, and we're watching him tell the story. Look what he has to say at the close of our parable in verse 14. I tell you that this man, the tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Hold on to the last bit of that verse. That's a truth at the center of the universe. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus is the one telling the story. He's the author, the only one who could really, really boast in the presence of God. The only one who could ever hold his head up high in the presence of God is the person who's going to say, be humble. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He himself embodies that statement. You might know this bit well if you know any of the book of Philippians. Let's work out how Jesus is the humble one who's exalted. It starts something like this. Jesus, who being in very nature God, you do not get higher than that. That's where he starts. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, so he made himself low. He made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. He comes even lower. And being found in appearance as a man, he goes even lower still. He humbled himself. There's that word, humbled. By becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus himself, the only true one who had reason to boast, is the humblest man you'll ever see. He went low, lower, and lowest for us. But remember, there's another side to that story. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, not just high, but highest, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He's the truly humble one. And as we come to communion this morning, we need to come to Christ, come to the one who's full, generous in grace, full of mercy. The one who, as Richard Sibb says, there is more mercy in Christ than sin in us. Let's remember that as we move to take bread and wine together. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you yourself embody all that it is to be humble. Thank you that in humility you've come even for us. We pray, would you topple over the ladders of self-righteousness and looking down on others that are present in our hearts today, in my heart today. May you create in us, O Lord, that spirit of the tax collector who comes on their own before Almighty God and is humble and asks for mercy and forgiveness. Would you give us mercy and grace today, Lord? In Jesus' name, amen.